Glory killed the motorcycle's engine. Because the old sidecar and Peter's weight inside it kept the bike upright, she didn't need to lower her feet. Both boots remained firmly planted on the metal pegs. 2,976 hours had passed for Glory Spaulding since the moment in 2013 when she and the others had been ambushed by the Vulture and swallowed up by a more brutal time stream. As lava had leapt up out of city streets and volcanic ash had burned her lungs, she had looked at her watch. Moments later, when Peter had somehow managed to leap them years into the bleak future in a harsh swirl of sand, her watch had kept ticking. Since that time, although the watch was now dead, she had logged every 24-hour period in the little notebook she kept with her hourglass. It had been 124 days, and now she and Peter and the idling motorcycle were finally back in time, and on the same hill they had been on when the horrors had first come. But this was nothing like those awful moments. The small white battery-powered kitchen timer that Glory kept in her binocular case was beeping quickly. She popped the bino case open, silenced the timer, restarted it for another 24 hours, tucked it back into the case, and pulled out her tiny green spiral notebook and a stubby pencil. Peter sighed, shifting his weight in the sidecar.
"You missed by centuries," Glory said. "Again. Look around. I'm guessing 1850s.
One more pencil tick and the notebook rejoined the timer. The bino case snapped shut. Day 125 had begun. Glory rubbed her hands on her faded jeans and took in the scene around them. The air was warm and the sun bright. Clearly, they had dropped in on a summer day. She didn't need the old canvas jacket she was wearing over her flannel shirt, but hopefully she would again just as soon as they moved on. This Seattle wasn't much of a Seattle at all. The surrounding hills were a patchwork of old timber with heavily logged bald stripes. Most of the bigger buildings, warehouses and shipyards, were down by the water. But a few cockeyed and crooked wooden buildings faced one another across the wide dirt road where Sam and Glory were sitting now. 50 feet away, a massive team of snorting horses was stamping and straining to pull a barnacle-covered ship's hull that spanned three large wagons. The rear wagon had collapsed, and Glory could see the shattered bodies of two dead men pinned beneath it, which explained why she and Peter had ended up here. Deaths, the departures of souls, always left a hole, and it was easy for new souls to slip in.
"So," Glory said, try again? This is definitely well before the Vulture blew everything up, but I don't think we'll find him setting traps this far back."
Peter didn't answer. He was watching the street ahead of them. Men were shouting, desperately trying to use poles to lever the ship's keel off the broken bodies. Others were fighting to calm rearing and stamping draft horses, all whinnying anger and fear. Horrified shopkeepers watched from open doors, and mothers in dirty petticoats gripped the hands of small children, pulling them well clear of the straining animals and the deadly landlocked vessel. Watching clouds of soft dust swirl around black stamping hooves, Glory tightened her long dark ponytail, and then she unzipped her jacket, releasing the excess heat. In the sidecar beside her, Peter was perfectly still, until his fingers began to drum on the lip of the sidecar.
"Feel free to use your words," Glory said. "Just as soon as you have any. Where to now?"
A red bandana pinned Peter's dark hair back, and he was wearing an old denim jacket. When he stopped finger drumming and dangled his arms out of the sidecar, sand hissed quietly out of his sleeves onto the ground. He turned his dark face up toward the sun and shut his eyes.
"I would like 2012, he said. "Maybe.
Probably.
But short distances are so hard.